All right. Thank you, Stephen, Esther, and Cindy. God bless you. Why don't you take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I think it's really neat the way that the music committee had planned that all these songs kind of lined up with the theme of the message about Jesus being the rock of our salvation, and how we build on Him, not on sand. You know, that one of the major stories this week in the news has been the weather, the inclement weather, the violent storms. And, you know, it looked like early in the week we were about to get blasted by a pair of hurricanes, didn't it? Here comes Marco, and on the tail of that, here is Hurricane Laura. But we were delighted to know that Marco seemed to have fizzled before it really hit land. And we kind of dodged the bullet there. But then didn't happen that way with Hurricane Laura, did it? I mean, Hurricane Laura just barreled into America, and 150-mile-an-hour winds, one of the strongest storms that had ever been on record, and just ferocious winds that knocked out power. And we were told, even as of Friday, that there were 750,000 people who didn't have any electricity. That's a tough challenge to live without that, isn't there? And maybe another 8 million people that could be subject to bombardment by floods because of the torrential rains. So a tough time, and just an extremely difficult storm. And we're thankful that it seems like the loss of life was minimized. We're very grateful for that. But the storm was so devastating that it was labeled as unsurvivable. Unsurvivable. Now, you know, sometimes in life we run into some storms and we're getting blasted, and it might seem like it's an unsurvivable situation. I mean, we might think, am I going to get through this? How am I going to make it through this time? But I want to tell you, Jesus has some words about how to survive what looks like unsurvivable, how to stand and how to keep on standing and even make forward progress and move on ahead through those toughest times in life. Would you like to hear what Jesus had to say about that? I want to know what He had to say about that. And He has some crucial things to say. Now, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And the setting is a mountainside, and the teacher, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who spoke with all authority and power. When He spoke, people listened, didn't they? And we still need to listen, because these words are certainly applicable and deal with us. And He has a story for us about two builders and the way they built a house. And it speaks to the way we build a life. And so here's a story that He has to say. It's a parable. And you know, a parable, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And it's not a long parable, but it's a story long on meaning. Okay? So why don't we just stand our feet and let's read the scripture. We could call this story The House on the Rock. The House on the Rock. Matthew 7, we want to begin at verse 24 and go down through verse 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority, not as their own teachers of the law. Be seated. Now here is a picture, and Jesus, the artist, masterfully draws this picture. It's a picture about two houses and two builders. And let's just begin by saying something about the foundation of the different builders. The foundation of the different builders, we'll just move right into our outline, put a letter A underneath that, and say something about the wise builder. The wise builder. Now, Jesus indicates there are two big people in this story, two people who are doing a building project. One is wise and one is not. Verse 24 said, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Here's a man, and before he erects any walls, before the roof goes on the house, the foundation goes underneath the house. He knows that that's the only way that this building is going to be substantial and it's going to last. Now, through the years, we've had different opportunities to build on to our property. We built this auditorium. We built that gymnasium. We built this educational, recreational fellowship space. But every single time, before the walls went up, the foundation went down, all right? We knew that we had to have something substantial underneath us so we could build on. And if we had not done that, we'd be in trouble. We built on a foundation, didn't we? And our foundation was concrete, and concrete is mortar and stone brought together. And here's a man, he knew he had to have a foundation, and he built a foundation on a foundation of stone. If you're going to have something that's going to stand and function instead of sink and fall, you're going to have a foundation. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Now, what's the result of this guy's foundation, the house that he built? How did everything turn out for him? Well, verse 25 says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, here is a builder who did it right. There's another builder, though, in this story, and he's a little different. Let's call him B, the foolish builder. All right, here is the foolish builder. What did Jesus say about him? Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, here's the guy that he didn't want to be bothered with this extra work of building a foundation. He just built right on the sinking sand. Now, to the eye, in the external appearance, could his house have looked different than the other house? Maybe not. Maybe it didn't look any different than the house built on a foundation. But I want to tell you, if there is no foundation, there is a difference. There's a radical difference. Because this house without a foundation is doomed to fail. A poor foundation will make a fatal difference. And so here's a guy, he just built his building right on the sand, didn't take the effort to go down and build on the rock. And what happens to his project? There'll be a time when it disintegrates. It just will not last. Now, what's the application here, all right? Jesus said something, used a very earthly story. He's talking about the foundation of the different builders, but how about the application of divine truth? What did he say here? What does it mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus speaks about these different builders, but he puts the meaning right here in front of us. He lays it out right within the parable. Let me read it once again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, two different individuals building two different houses, but Jesus says this is a picture of two different ways to build your life. He's talking about building a life and building a life with him or apart from him. In the story, the wise man builds his house on the rock. The foolish man doesn't, has no foundation. But in life, we need a foundation like Jesus. Jesus is the rock on which we build. Now, it's interesting that the Bible uses this term rock as a metaphor for Jesus. You know, we just heard this song, I'll build my church on this rock. I'll build my life on this rock. The rock is Jesus. In Isaiah 28:16, it says Jesus is a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts in him will never be dismayed. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, if Jesus is the foundation for life, how do we lay this foundation? Where does it start? How do we get things going in the right direction? Well, Jesus said, you listen to what I say, and then you put it into action. So how do we do that? All right, let me give you a couple of subpoints under this application of divine truth. And A is simply receive Jesus initially. That's where it starts. The first thing to do if you want to build on the foundation, is to take Jesus into your life. Recognize him as the stone, the foundation, what's underneath it all. Now, does everybody do that? Everybody doesn't do that. There are a lot of people building on a lot of shaky foundations, aren't there? I heard David Jeremiah talking about a guy named Dan Wakefield. And Dan Wakefield had written a very popular book back in 1970. The book was called Going All the Way. It sold 800,000 copies just in the paperback rendition of that. It was on the Newsweek bestseller list. But Dan Wakefield was asked by a reporter after his success. He said, hey, your dreams come true. You're big time. How does it feel here? How you feeling about what you have encountered and what you have enjoyed? I'm going to read to you the exact quote of what Dan Wakefield said. He said, the dream of a lifetime had been realized, and I was delighted. I was also nervous and anxious. I learned what people have testified of since the beginning of time, but that no one really believes until he has the experience, that success and achievements and rewards are all fine, but they do not transform you. They do not bring about a state of built-in contentment or inner peace or security, much less salvation. The novel was not the answer to all of life's problems, as I thought it would be. So I went out and had another drink. Here's a guy that said, man, I finally got what I wanted. I finally reached the big time. And I realized I was just as empty on the inside. A lot of people build it on the wrong foundation. The foundation that really won't satisfy, really won't complete them. And so Jesus says, we need the right foundation. And where does that begin? It begins by hearing his truth. And putting it into action by moving on ahead. And the moving on ahead begins with inviting him to come into your heart. How to do that? Got to understand some basic truth, don't you? The basic truth is we first start with a realization. It's a stark realization. It's a humbling realization that we're not so hot after all. That all have sinned and dropped the ball, broken God's rules. Nobody's as good as they may think they are. And we come to that realization that we're sinners. The Bible says that, doesn't it? It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we realize, too, that there's a consequence of that. There's a price tag that goes along with that. That sin cuts us off from fellowship with God. God is absolutely holy. We're absolutely unholy. All right? We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And we have blown it, and we have divided ourselves from God. And we live life without God. And when we die, we'd be separated from him in a place the Bible calls hell, a place of separation, and a place of punishment. God is righteous and just, and he must punish sin. God's not going to let sin just go unpunished. And for that person who thinks, well, I'm just as good as anybody else, I'll just get to heaven on my own virtues. If you're a sinner, you're not going to, because it's impossible for God to allow sin into heaven. So we've got to realize that. That's the bad news, but the good news is God loves sinners. All right? God didn't want to lose us, and so God created a plan. What kind of a plan was it? It was a phenomenal plan that he himself would take on flesh and come down here and live a flawless, perfect life. And then he would offer himself and his own life as payment and punishment for our sins that we deserve. He offered to do that. He did, in fact, do that. And it's a fact that he died on the cross. And it is a fact that God raised Jesus, his perfect son, from the dead. And it is a fact that your life will be different and you can get a foundation to live on if you'll invite that one to be your Savior and your Lord. One of those songs we sang earlier said all our sins were put on the cross. Every sin of humanity was put on the cross, was put on Jesus. But you've got to accept the gift. You've got to take it as your own. And so when we do that, what do we do? That's the first step in laying a foundation. That begins to build the rock by receiving him. Now, not only do we receive him initially, but B, we must then crown Jesus continually. Okay? To build a life on the right foundation isn't just to say, okay, Lord, come into my life, give me the ticket to heaven. I'm going to stick it in my pocket. I'm going to pull it out when I die. But in the meantime, I'm doing my own thing. That's wrong, isn't it? To receive him as Savior and Lord means I receive him initially. I crown him continually. I want him to run the show and be in charge of my life. This is the action plan that Jesus prescribes, isn't it? So what do? We start with him, and then we stay with Him. We begin to build on Him, and we continue to build on Him as long as life lasts. We're going to have Him in the position of authority and power in our life. Now, here's a question. Is it easier to build on a foundation of stone or a foundation of sand? It's easier. I mean, it's easier just to throw something together, okay? And I'm going to tell you, it was easier for the builder to build without having to dig down deep to the stone shelf. It was easier for him, but in the big picture, it never worked out, did it? Okay, I'm going to tell you, it's easier in life just to go with the flow. It's easier in life just to blend in with everybody else. It's easier in life just to say, hey, I'm going to have a good time. I'm just gonna do my thing. It's a little tough sometimes to build on the rock, okay? It's an uphill climb, and we acknowledge that. But I'm going to tell you, it is an uphill climb. But if you won't get there, if you won't make that climb, if you won't build on the rock, you're going to have trouble, and you're going to collapse. And I want to tell you that there are storms that are going to come in every single person's life. You might be in the midst of one right now. You might have just come through one and survived it. You might have one that's going to kick in tomorrow. But there are storms in this life. There are going to be defeats and sorrows and tears for every single one of us. There are going to be griefs and heartaches and pain. And so in this life, what do we need? We need somebody greater than ourselves to get us through this. We need this foundation. We need the rock of Jesus. We need to take Him into our lives and continue to build on Him. And it's a fact that we need His energy and His encouragement, because what? The rains are going to come down on us. The streams are going to rise on us, and the winds are going to blow on us, and it might seem like they're about to knock us over. But if we have the stability that walking with Jesus gives, we're going to make it. We're going to get through that. Now, the ultimate storm, of course, is for the person who says, I don't need this Jesus stuff. I think when my life ends, I'll stand before God. I ought to be okay. I'm not willing to turn my life over to Him. I'm going to do my life my way. If you go through that, the ultimate storm is out there ahead of you. And what's the ultimate storm? The ultimate storm is Judgment Day, isn't it? The ultimate storm is Judgment Day, when the door to heaven is slammed shut, all right? And you're going to go down, and there's going to be a collapse. And then, what did Jesus say? The one guy's house fell with a great crash. I want to guarantee a great crash for the Christ rejecter. I want to guarantee that there's something wonderful for the one who receives Him initially and crowns Him continually. Now, what do we do? We hear what He said. We act on the information that He gives us. The wise person will do that. The foolish person will not do that. Now, let me see if we can kind of point toward the finish line here, but stick a couple of sub-points under this item of crown Jesus continually. I want to say, number one, it pays to obey the Lord, okay? It pays to obey the Lord. Does it cost? It does. And again, sometimes you're swimming upstream, okay? If you go God's way and everybody else is going their own way. But it's well worth it, okay? And there are times when you have to go it alone. There may be some times when all your friends say, hey, let's do this, and you know down deep in your heart, that's not right. I can't get the seal of approval of God on my life if I'm participating in that behavior, or I'm going in that direction. Just can't participate in that. I say no to this. I'm not gonna move in with this girl or this guy before we get married. I'm not gonna go and get high. I'm not gonna do these things. And sometimes it's tough to say I will not cross that line. But if we're gonna build on the foundation, we need to do that. But it pays to obey. Sometimes, you know, we've got so many social problems going on. Sometimes we just got to be firm and say, hey, I am not going to hate a certain group. I'm not going to be malicious and not going to show animosity. I'm not going to be racist, but I'm not going to cave in to chaos either. I believe in law and order, but I believe every single person is a person of dignity and needs to be treated fairly, and no injustice for nobody. But by the same token, I'm going to stand against the anarchy that seems to be unfolding in a lot of places and a lot of times. I'm going to do the right thing. Doing the right thing is sometimes tough, but it pays to obey the Lord. Sometimes, you know, God's Spirit might lay on your spirit, hey, here's this friend of yours or here's a relative and they don't know me. Would you reach out to them? And God wants you to go to that person, maybe to invite them to church or to share with them what Jesus means to you or engage them in a gospel conversation. And it's real easy to say, you know, that's kind of hard, kind of awkward. I'm not so good at that. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus will help you do what he asks you to do, and it'll pay to serve him. It costs to serve him, but it will pay to serve him, whatever he asks you to do. Sometimes, you know, in terms of priorities, he asks us to do some priority adjustments that's a little bit hard, okay? But sometimes we recognize, you know, I've been putting the lesser things above the greater things. I have been putting myself and my preferences and my wants above what I know what God wants. And I've slighted his church, or maybe I've slighted his family, or I've slighted some other things that need to be higher on the list. And, you know, sometimes you got to set aside what's good in order to do what's best, right? But he wants us to get our priorities in order. But when we'll do that, we'll find out it pays to obey him. But he's looking for people who will obey him and say, Lord, your agenda would be my agenda. And everything you want is going to supersede everything I want. And I'm willing to go where you want me to go. I'm willing to be what you want me to be. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to say what you want me to say. And so it pays to obey the Lord. But can we put a number two under that and say it costs to disobey the Lord? All right. You might be a person who says, hey, you know, I want to follow Jesus, but, you know, I still want to keep some things under my control, under my agenda. I want to have a little sin in my life. I want to have a little fun here and there. I want to do this. I want to do that. May I just remind you that it costs to disobey the Lord. May I give you a couple of quick illustrations? One's from the realm of sports. And that involves a guy whose name you may recognize. And if you've been a baseball fan, you've probably heard of Pete Rose. Have you heard of Pete Rose? Most people have. Pete Rose, I mean, what a phenomenal record he left behind him in baseball. He's the all-time leader in base hits in Major League Baseball, 4,256. All-time leader in games played, 3,562. All-time leader in career at-bats. All-time leader in singles. He has three World Series records. He has three Major League batting titles, two Golden Glove awards, and has been both the most valuable player in his league and the Rookie of the Year in his league. And maybe what's even more impressive than that is that 17 different times he was selected to be in the All-Star game. And in those times, he played five different positions. Nobody else has ever done anything like that. You think, wow, what a career. I want to tell you, Pete Rose is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and Pete Rose will not be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He has appealed time and time again, and every time the answer is no. And you know why? Because he bet on baseball games, and that was a cardinal rule against that. His actions just tripped him up, and it cost him big time. And the guy with phenomenal records will never be in the Hall of Fame because of the choices that he made. It costs to do the wrong thing, and I want to tell you, it costs to disobey the Lord. When you know down deep in your heart, this is what God says, and you say, I'm going to do something different. He wants me on that rock, but I'm going to kind of get over here in the sandy area and do my thing. Another illustration from the military world, and it's a quote, an illustration I'm going to read to you from General George Patton. George Patton said this about obedience. He said, picking the right leader is the most important task of any commander. I line up the candidates and say, men, I want a trench dug behind warehouse 10. Make this trench 8 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 6 inches deep. While the candidates are checking their tools out at the warehouse, I watch them from a distance. They puzzle over why I want such a shallow trench. They argue over whether 6 inches is deep enough for a gun emplacement. Some complain that such a trench should be dug with power equipment. Others gripe that it's too hot or too cold to dig. If the men are above the rank of lieutenant, there will be complaints that they should not be doing such lowly labor. Finally, one man will order, what difference does it make what the general wants to do with this trench? Let's get it dug and get out of here. And General Patton said, that man will get the promotion. All right. It pays to obey. It pays to obey the Lord. Now, if you will loyally obey Him, I want to tell you, there'll be a difference in your life. And when you let His preferences supersede your preferences, then you're going to be better off. It costs to disobey, but it pays to obey, and it pays big time. I ran across this story this week in a state Baptist paper that reminds me that we do owe that ultimate loyalty to the one who gave His all for us. The one who gave His all for us is Jesus. But here's a story, and there's a picture there, and I know you can't see this, but let me just read to you a paragraph from this article. John Powell, age 38, was killed on July 18 while helping a stranded motorist on U.S. Highway 75 in Sherman, Texas. John was serving as pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in New Caney, Texas at the time. According to local reports from television station KXII, Powell was one of the two men who stopped to help a motorist whose car had caught on fire after an accident on the highway. Police say one of those two men, namely Powell, saw a semi-truck coming toward them on the highway and pushed the other man out of the way to save him. Station KXII reported, adding that Powell was then hit by the semi and died at the scene. Powell was survived by his wife, Catherine, and four young children. Here's a man who gave it all to save somebody else's life. I want to tell you, there's somebody who gave it all to save you and me, and that is Jesus. We owe our ultimate loyalty to Him, don't we? And since He died so we can live, shouldn't we live for Him? And maybe today is a decision day in your life. Maybe you need to say, it's time to really get, pardon me, really get building on the rock. And the sands of self-rule and self-will and the junk in my life, that just needs to be put aside. And I need to go with Him. Now, you might be here and you haven't ever asked Him to come into your life and save you. You haven't made that initial decision to receive Jesus. You could do that today. Maybe you're here today and there's some things that need to be rearranged and readjusted and reprioritized. You can tell the Lord that, all right? And if you want somebody to pray with you about that, I'd be glad to meet with you at this Next Step table. You know, we're not doing that classic traditional invitation hymn where folks come forward, shake the pastor's hand, everybody goes by and shakes hands with them. We're shying away from that temporarily because of this COVID thing. Okay? But I want to tell you, we're going to dismiss here in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to be standing at this table. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, it's time to do that. Because if you won't, there will be a great collapse for you when it's done down here. And you might say, well, I'm going to do that one of these days. You don't know that you'll have one of these days. We were on a little trip this past week, and we were on the way home, and we sat for 2 hours and 10 minutes on Interstate 65 because a semi had crashed and burst into horrible flames there. And somehow or another, the drivers got through that, but that could have been the ultimate disaster. We never know when things will wrap up for us down here. When I was a policeman in Madison County, there was an Anderson City police officer I knew. His name was Randy Davis, and he was a lieutenant there. He was an ex-Marine. He was a big man. He was a strong man. He was a man that was a good guy. And after he left the police department there, he went on the staff of the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy and taught police officers who were going through their basic training there. Randy Davis passed away. His funeral was yesterday. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how big or rough or tough or strong you are, you're going to leave this life at some point in time. The way to be ready then is to get ready right here and right now. So if there's some stuff in your life that needs cleared up and you need Jesus to forgive you and come and save you, then let's talk about that. If there's some things that you need to get squared away on, you want to talk about that, we're here for that. Maybe you're here and you've never received baptism as a sign of your new life in Christ, that symbol, and God's laid that on your heart. Would you let us know about that? We'll schedule that to happen. You may be here and you love the Lord and you're a member of some other church and you feel like God's led you here to be part of this church family. you could come and share that decision. We'd gladly receive you and take you into this family and help you as we move on ahead together. Whatever it is God wants you to do, would you be willing to do it? And Father, I pray that people with decisions that are hanging, they deal with that. They take care of that. They make that all crucial commitment to you, God, because it is so dangerous to even walk out these doors apart from you. But God, it is so secure to build on the rock. And thank you that you're the rock. You're the rock of salvation. And you'll take us if we'll take you. So God, would you work on the hearts of people and help us each do exactly what we ought to do. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tom Best is the Deacon of the Month. Tom's going to wrap us up. May I just share with you something as Tom comes? A couple things. Number one, Kendra's going to have the message tonight, so I hope you'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. And then number two, 2 weeks from today, we're going to kick Sunday school in again, okay? We've got some rooms. We feel like we can still honor some social distancing, but have that fellowship and that Bible study that is so helpful. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, you make your choice. But if you do, it's going to happen 2 weeks from today, 9:15 at the normal Sunday school time. Tom? Yeah.